Americans are actually living longer and healthier than any citizenship in modern history. We take our health pretty seriously, most of us do. One out of every three are on a diet. Anybody in this room on a diet? Raise your hand. Okay. One out of five adults consistently participates in some sort of aerobic exercise. Most of you know by heart your cell phone number, your email address, and your cholesterol level. And by the way, I wish for all of you very good health. But what happens when sickness removes us from the land of the healthy and intrudes upon our normal lives? We're never really prepared for that, and it can knock us off balance. And when we face a kind of serious illness or chronic pain, we naturally become fearful. We're fearful of what this illness may do to our future. We're fearful of where this sickness may take me. We're fearful of how other people may view us. And what will God do with our illness? Will God move in some way to bring healing to my body and to my spirit? Will I have to learn how to live with this? Will I die from this illness? These are questions that we're facing now, or we will face in the future. Illness has been called the great interrupter. It's the great interrupter of life. It just barges right in. It doesn't knock. It just comes right in without knocking, and it arrests all of your plans and diminishes hopes for the future. And sickness touches virtually every part of your life. And when you deal with it, you have to deal with all kinds of sidebar issues. Confusion, betrayal, shock, anger, jealousy, despair, and then there is the loss of identity. One person who became chronically ill said, "I needed to mourn the end of what I had been. It was like saying goodbye to a place where I had lived and loved. And my friends treat me differently because I am different. They tiptoe around me with their conversations because they're afraid of saying the wrong thing, and I'm just no longer the person I was." And that sick person has lost virtually any sense of predictability. Vacations are contingent upon your illness. Going to work is contingent upon the sickness. Even getting up in the morning is stipulated by your sickness, and what was once somewhat predictable is all now provisional. Yes, there are some gains to being sick. Somebody says, "I've clarified my values. I had a sense of spiritual renewal, a time of increased trust in God." But there are some losses, and those losses must be faced and named. C.S. Lewis, in his tremendous book, The Problem of Pain, says these words in his preface. "The purpose of this book is to solve the intellectual problem raised by suffering. But for the far higher task of teaching fortitude and patience, I was never fool enough to suppose myself qualified. Nor have I anything to offer my readers except my conviction that when pain is to be borne, a little courage helps more than much knowledge. A little human sympathy more than much courage, and the least tincture of the love of God more than all." In other words, Lewis says, it's easy to philosophize about suffering when you're not doing any suffering. But when the beast of sickness crouches at your own door, it's another ball game. And the problem is not that we don't have faith, it's just that sometimes when there is a shroud of darkness around us, it's just difficult to articulate our faith. I know of a minister who buried his daughter. She dies of an illness. And someone asked him afterwards, they said, "Do you still believe Romans 8:28? You know that great passage of scripture that says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And he said, yes, I still believe it, but just don't ask me to preach on it just yet. Sometimes when you're in the middle of being shrouded by darkness, it's just tough to give articulation to even what you believe. Well, today we're in a passage of scripture out of James chapter 5, and we're not going to finish. I plan to revisit this same topic 2 weeks from today. I'm not preaching next Sunday, but 2 weeks from today, I plan to revisit this same topic. James 5, verses 13 through 16, praying for healing. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Here the Bible invites us to lay every moment of our life before God. Listen, you have a God who is a God for all seasons. And when you care about people, you have to have a kind of schizophrenia about you. I mean, today you're at church and you ask one person, hey, how you doing? And they're going to say, fantastic, I got some great news. And you talk to them, hey, how you doing? Well, not so well. You know, we rejoice and we weep. And you have a God for all seasons, and you are invited that when things are difficult, you're invited to pray about it. And when things are celebratory, you are invited to praise about it. Prayer accesses the ongoing grace of God. And is there a moment in your life when you don't need God's help? And so James says, initially, I'm asking you to pray for emotional healing. He says in verse 13, is any one of you in trouble? That word trouble is the same word that's translated suffering back up in James 5, verse 10. Any one of you in the midst of difficulty, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. He says, when you're down, pray. When you're up, praise. And whatever your circumstance, whether you're in the pit or up on the heights, pray. And how many of us know that sometimes the trouble that you face is not physical? It's emotional. It's internal. Sometimes a broken relationship can hurt more than a broken bone. And when you need emotional strength, ask God for it. And when you are crippled in your spirit, when you are in times of great stress or distress, when your hopes and your dreams have taken a hit, pray and ask God for emotional healing and renewal. Let me ask you a question. Is it any less a gracious work of God for him to remove bitterness from your heart, or for him to remove fear from your heart, than it is for him to remove a physical illness from someone's body? It is all a work of God. And when you need emotional healing and emotional strengthening, when you are in times of trouble, he says, pray. And then pray for physical healing. There are 41 healing miracles recorded in the ministry of Jesus. Now, why did Jesus heal some people and not others? I don't know. Why was the Apostle Paul not healed of his thorn in the flesh? Why was Timothy not healed of his weak stomach? I don't know. Why was the Apostle Paul's co-worker, Trophimus, left sick at Miletus? Answer, I don't know. But the truth remains that sometimes God works a healing in response to the prayer of faith. Now, I have a conviction that all healing is divine, but not all healing is supernatural. Let me state that one more time. That all healing is divine, but not all healing is supernatural. Let me list four types of physical healing that I believe exist. First of all, natural healing. That your body is marvelously designed with incredible powers of self-recuperation and natural healing. We have all in this room had enough scrapes and cuts and colds and sore throats to know that our bodies do a great job of caring for themselves. And we also know that we can even improve our health just by a better diet, more exercise, appropriate amounts of sleep. Good health can be improved by good physical habits. Our bodies, says the Bible, are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God should be praised for natural healing. There's another kind of healing, medical healing. Using skilled healthcare, competent professionals does not mean that you have weak faith. Every good gift comes down from above. And the Lord told us to go into this world and have dominion. In other words, go out and research and develop. And as you research and develop, every good gift that comes from a competent, qualified healthcare professional, that's something that ultimately you can thank God for and praise God for. Your doctor may be the means that God uses to bring about healing, or part of the means. Jeff and Marcy Bagley were recently found guilty of criminally negligent homicide. Why? They prayed for their 16-year-old son. He had a urinary tract blockage, easily medically treatable. They prayed for him, but refused to take him to get medical help. I do not believe God asks you to choose between prayer and medicine. I believe you should pray and take your medicine to the glory of God. Seek the Lord when you're weak, ask for His help, but do not despise the Lord's help, even when it comes in the form of surgery or physical therapy. There's a third kind of physical healing, mental healing. Here's something you know, but you may have forgotten. There really is a power in healthy thinking. And your attitude and your thinking process actually can affect you physically. This should not surprise you. Keeping a good attitude is good for your health. The Bible says a merry heart, an optimistic spirit does what? Does good like medicine. And the Bible says if you have an envious spirit, if you're constantly comparing yourself to other people in a competitive way, well, I'm losing this one, I'm winning that one, you're constantly envious and comparing, you will wear out your bones. Mental healing. And here's the last one. Supernatural healing. This is where God intervenes and changes the natural course of things. And when it pleases Him to do so, God still stretches out His hand to heal in remarkable ways. Many of you in this room know of cases where the healing could not be attributed to medicine. The Lord determines that. We give Him the glory. And I guarantee you, even if you don't believe it, if you found yourself in that situation, you would start praying and you would ask people to pray for you. We do not program healings. We cannot make guarantees or demands, but we are invited to ask. There's an interesting statement in the Older Testament in 2 Chronicles 16. It says this. It says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. And though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. You do not find Asa being criticized for going to a physician, but that he only went there. And he didn't take... What did I say at the beginning of this message? We are invited to take all of our life and bring it before God. Are there emotional issues? Bring them before the Lord. Are there physical issues? Bring them before the Lord. And here's back to the book of James, verses 14 and 15. He says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. By the way, let me just mention, this is an ongoing ministry in our church. Our elders do this. And if you're facing a significant illness, you call for the elders of this church, and some of our elders will gather with you, anoint you with oil, and pray over you. And I would encourage you to even do that more than once. This is an ongoing ministry in our church family. Happened again this past week. Now, is any one of you sick? Call for the elders of the church. By the way, that's just one more indication. The Bible knows nothing about free-floating Christians. I'm a Christian. I just don't really belong to any church. The Bible knows nothing of that. You're a part of a church, and you have elders. And you call for your elders to come and anoint you with oil. What's the significance of the oil? Well, the oil is symbolic. It's not medicinal. It's symbolic. Just like this morning, we used bread and grape juice. There is water in our baptistry. Water is a symbol of the cleansing of God. The bread, symbol of the body of Christ. The grape juice, a symbol of his blood. And this oil is symbolic of the presence of God. And to that sick person to say, you're not alone. God is here. God's people is here. And there's enormous power in this. And then verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Now, I realize you're going to read that statement and you've got a ton of questions. I'm not going to deal with them all today. I may not be able to answer them all. Well, you know, there are great mysteries here. Like I say, I plan to come back to this topic in a couple of weeks. I do think we need to avoid a couple of extremes. There are a couple of extremes out there. Some of you may be an extremist. Most of us are not. There's one extreme out there that it's the not now extreme. Not now. You know, there was a time when God would show up, but not now. Now we're just all on our own, and you're pretty much I have met some Christian Sadducees. They really don't believe in anything spiritual, you know. Not now. Happened then. God answered. That was something for them. That's not now. Then there's another extreme. And the other extreme is the, you know, just name it and claim it. It's what the superintendent of the Assemblies of God Church, George Wood, calls the hyper-faith movement. And he's very critical of it. You think Assemblies of God? Yeah, very critical of the hyper-faith. Just name it and claim it. Whatever I pray for, whatever I ask, I name it, and that obligates God then to give me whatever I ask. I live between those two extremes. I do believe that God still heals, but that he does not heal everyone every time. And for all of us, at some point, the answer is a no. But I believe it is always in God's power to heal, but not always in his purpose to do so. There is a great mystery here, but this passage of Scripture is meant to encourage you and to exhort us to the boundless possibilities in prayer. I understand this is not a blank check that obligates God. These are promises that are intended to help me pray more boldly, to come before a God who can do all things, but I do not demand, I do not obligate God per my instructions. I understand that I pray according to His will. Some of you have been healed. Some of you have not been healed. Some of you will be healed. Some of you will not be healed. And it is in God's great mystery of His good providence that some people are healed, and at certain times for certain reasons, and others are not. But James wants us to lay every aspect of our life before God. Are you in trouble, emotional distress? Pray about that. Is it a time of great celebration in your life? Well, don't be standing over here just patting yourself on the back saying, thank my lucky stars. No, thank your good God. Praise Him. And are you going through a time of sickness and it's chronic and it's ongoing? Do not hurt alone. Don't do that. God doesn't want you to feel abandoned, and you are invited to pray about it. And this I know, He will bring grace to you. He will either bring grace over that difficulty or grace within it. Now, there's a phrase at the end of verse 15 where He says, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. I want to be clear here that James is not connecting all sickness with a particular sin. But there are times, I mean, where does sickness come from? I think four specific places. I'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But there are times that some sickness can be traced back to a divine visitation from God. And that's why James doesn't give a blanket statement here, but he says, but if there is a connection here between this particular illness and a sin in that person's life, he will be forgiven. Because you see, sometimes the healing that's really needed is a spiritual healing. And James goes there next, and we'll conclude here. He says, pray for spiritual healing. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Listen very carefully. Regardless of the source of the sickness, many times when we do get sick, it causes us to be more conscious of our spiritual condition. Physical illness causes us to evaluate and reevaluate our spiritual lives and to pursue at times a much more needed healing. I know people who received a healing, but they're still in a sick body. But they received the kind of healing that was most needed. It was a spiritual healing. And so James says, I want you to pray for each other and confess to each other. What does it mean to confess to each other? Let me tell you what it means at its most fundamental level. And this is something that is rarely done anymore. Where you have sinned against a brother or sister in Christ, and you go to that person and say, I've wronged you. You may not even know it, but I've wronged you. And I'm sorry. Pray for each other and have that kind of willingness to confess. And if you're willing to go there, he says, pray, and God will bring about the kind of healing that is most needed. Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. And then the last thing he says, just if he says, I know I've said a lot of mysterious things, but remember that the prayer of a righteous man, it is powerful. It is effective. There's tremendous potential in your prayers. Prayer may look plain. It may look simple. It may look ordinary. But there are riches waiting for you. My friend, God moves mountains. And prayer moves God. God moves mountains. And prayer moves God because He has decreed that there are certain things that are His will that He wants to do, but He's going to wait till you ask. Why? So that you might partner with Him. So that you might grow your faith and that He might grow your faith as well. Okay. I really appreciate your attention on this topic. And I encourage you today to just decide that as you leave that, I'm going to pray for points of emotional healing. And I will pray for points of physical healing. And I may not need this particular message today, but at some point I will. And I'm going to pray always for spiritual healing as well. Now, we're going to come to the, we're going to spend a little time in prayer. And as I've said earlier, God invites us to take all of our life and bring before Him those things that are worthy of celebration and praise and those things that are heavy as well. Let me ask everybody to go ahead and be standing. Let me ask our elder prayer couples to come down front. And let's do that very thing today. Let's take the particular points of our lives before God, knowing that He hears us, that He has the ability to act according to His will and according to His kindness to us, and that you're invited to pray. During this time of prayer, you're also invited to come down and pray with one of these elder couples. We'd love to receive you, love to pray with you in Jesus' name. Everybody, let's all pray together.